Philo Torah Zoom Shiur for Yom Sheni, Monday, the third day of Iyar 5786, corresponding this year to April 20th. Whoops. Never get the sequence right here. Tehillim Kuf. Mizmor l'toda, hariu l'Adonai kol ha'oretz, ivdu et Adonai b'simcha, ba'u l'fanav birnana. Du'u ki Adonai hu Elohim, hu asanu v'lo anachnu, amo v'tzon marito. Ba'u sha'arav b'toda, chatzerotav b'tehila, hodu lo, baruchu shemo, ki tov Adonai li'olam chasto, va'ador v'ador emunato. Tehillim Kuf, chapter 20. Lam natseach mizmor le David ya'ancha Adonai biyom tzara yisagev chashem Elohei Yaakov yishlach ezrecha mikodesh umitzion yisadeka yiten lecha chilavavecha v'chol atzatcha yimale niranina b'shuatecha v'shem Eloheinu nidgol yimale Adonai kol mishalotecha. Ata yadati ki hoshi Adonai mishicho yanehu mishmei kodsho begvurot yeisha yemino. Elev orechev ve'elev asusim. Vanachnu b'shem Adonai Eloheinu nazkir. Hema koru v'nafalu. Vanachnu kamnu v'nitodod. Adonai hoshia hamelech yanehu v'yom koreinu. Kuf kof aleph. Shir hama lama alot asaynai el heharim me ayin yavo ezri. Ezri meim Adonai osei shamayim vaoretz. Al yitain lamot raglecha al yanum shomerecha. Hine lo yanum velo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha Adonai tzilecha al yad yiminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka v'yareach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra, yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitecha uvoecha me'ata v'yad olam. Mark.
Yishberach avosinu Abraham Yitzchak Yaakov v'yivarech es chayalei tzeva hagana liYisrael v'esanchei kohos habitachon ha'omedim al mishmar arzenu ve'arei Eloheinu ve'halochamim ba'adenu. Min halabanon va admidbar mitraim u min hayam hagadol ad lavo harava u foma fom shehem va yabasha ba avir u bayam kitain adonai es avinu hakamim alenu nigafim lifnehem hakadosh baruch hu yishmor vi yatsiles chayalenu mikol tzara v'tshuka u mikol nega machala yitzlach baruch hava asafa b'chol ma'ase yedehem yadber son enu tachtehem. Liat reim becheser Yeshua v'ateres yitzachon v'ikuyom bahem hakasuv ki Adonai Elohechem ha'olech imachem lihilachem lachem imoyevichem lo'oshiaschem v'nomar amen.
Amen. Together, Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya ba'omedim mebein bayam, bein bayabasha uvein ba'avir hamakom yirachem aleihem v'yotziem mitzara lirvacha u'me'afela lo'ora ומשיבוד לגאולה, השתה בעגלה ובזמן קריב, ונאמר אמן. What happened?
It didn't, just of all the days that I'm not looking at my own copy, it didn't scroll.
I'm sorry.
No one of us.
I was so used to, you not relying on that I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, my computer's not behaving, so I couldn't count on mine being available.
Got it. Okay. There's an old riddle of what day do we sometimes say Tachanun and sometimes say Hallel? The answer to the regular riddle is the third of Tevet. The third of Tevet is sometimes the last day of Hanukkah, when Rosh Chodesh Tevet was only one day. And we say Hallel for the eighth day of Hanukkah. And in years where there are 2 days Rosh Chodesh Tevet, the third day of Tevet is the day after Chanukah, when we don't say Hallel and we say Tachanun. The sad counterpart to that riddle is, on what day do some people say Hallel and some people say Tachanun? And the answer, of course, is Yom Ha'atzma'ut. I use that as a lead-in because I would hope for the day where I don't have to sound defensive, but unfortunately that day is not here. I run into people all the time, get into calm discussions until they turn to not so calm, not so discussions, and about the topic of the State of Israel and Yom Ha'atzma'ut. I'll start by telling an anecdote, which I think I've told before. My brother once gave a tramp to a yeshiva bachur from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak, and they're on the highway and they're talking, and my brother made a comment about the fact that there is more Torah learned in Eretz Yisrael today than anywhere else and ever before, thanks to the existence of the State of Israel, to which the Yeshiva Bacher said, "No, it's in spite of the State of Israel." So my brother pulled off to the shoulder and let him out in the middle of the highway, which I thought was very cool. So let me start by saying we're not talking about Eretz Yisrael. We're talking specifically about Medinat Yisrael, which came into existence on the 5th of Iyar at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday. It was originally supposed to be declared when the British Mandate ended, which would have been midnight between the 14th and 15th of May. And it was made. The declaration was made 8 hours early in deference to the Shabbat, to avoid Chilul Shabbat, the secular, non-religious, even some anti-religious founders of the state, honored the Shabbat by declaring the state at 4 in the afternoon instead of at midnight. I say that because that's one point in my whole kind of argument, that this is not a secular state. On that, I'll tell you another story. In the army, Mefaked says at 5 o'clock in the morning when he finishes his briefing, he says, "Datiyim to Beit HaKnesset, Chilonim, come with me." And he did things with them, which I have no idea what, because I went to the Beit Knesset for Shacharit. During the day, a Sephardi non-religious Jew soldier confided in me by expressing his being upset that he was referred to as a Chiloni. He says, "I'm not a Chiloni. Chas v'sholom, I'm not a Chiloni. I'm not religious, but I'm not a Chiloni." So the next morning, I had spoken to the Mefaked already, and he announced after the 5 o'clock briefing, "Ela shemitpalalim beveit haKnesset leveit haKnesset, ve'ela shelo mitpalalim beveit haKnesset, come with me." And that set a certain tone. And I'm saying that as part of my whole talk now, that we are in a medina, not just a country, some of us, in a medina that is not a perfect Torah state by any means yet. And there are people who don't want it to be, and there are people who would like to see it that way. But it is far from being a secular place. In the army, just to use another example, my favorite sign that I saw posted in the dining room was, "It is forbidden to mix up chalavi and bisari cutlery." And it didn't say Shulchan Aruch Siman so and so. It said bipikuda, by military order. It is a punishable offense when someone intentionally takes a par of a fleshik knife and uses it to cut up cheese. He could be court-martialed for that. And kashrut is the norm throughout the army. There are no army bases or outposts where there's not kosher food. Doesn't mean people won't sneak stuff in. Shabbat can't be violated. It is forbidden in the army to smoke in public, meaning on the base, on Shabbat. Government officials, when they go anywhere else in the world for any kind of official activity,
What are you going to do with it?
must observe Shabbat in public. Example, a high-ranking minister or the prime minister, could be religious, not religious, anti-religious, doesn't matter. He's in Sweden for a royal funeral, which takes place on Saturday. Wherever he's staying, he can't drive there. Even if he would, he's not allowed by the orders of the State of Israel. He has to walk, and his guards walk with him, security people walk with him, and so on. And the same thing for meals that he's invited to, a state dinner has to provide kosher food from him, otherwise, he's not allowed to go there. It goes on and on. I don't know why I'm starting with those examples, but it gets me very riled up when people dismiss the state, ignore the state, do not see it as something to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, even though it is not yet anywhere near a Torah state. I shouldn't even say it like that, because with Shabbos as the national day of rest, and kashrut being the norm, and restaurants closed on Tisha B'Av, and also on Yom HaShoah and Yom HaZikaron at night, there is a sense of Jewishness in this Medina that is enough, in my opinion, and not only my opinion, to be thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of the favorite things that I've heard over the years from people who question my observance of Yom HaAtzmaut is, well, if it wouldn't be in Sfirat HaOmer, maybe I would celebrate it. So for that, I refer to Shulchan Aruch, where it discusses a Brit Milah during the Omer. And it says there very clearly, with nobody arguing against it, that a father of a baby, the mohel, and the sandek are all allowed to take haircuts and shave likrat, the Brit Milah, because it is Yom Tov Shelahem. It is a Yom Tov for them. And that overrides the restrictions of getting married, well, not getting married, but of taking a haircut and shaving during Sfiras HaOmer. So I'm going to jump now to another issue for a quick moment, but it's an analogy that I'll bring back. Picture the following. A guy is a guest, or a woman is a guest at somebody's house for lunch on Shabbos. And dessert includes, hold on a second. I'm giving a shiur now. I have to talk after 4 o'clock. Okay, bye. You're a guest at somebody's house, and for dessert, there is first of the season seedless grapes. And the bala, and I'm sorry, bad example. First of the season watermelon. And the Balabayit is very excited because he loves watermelon, and he makes a Shehecheyanu and eats the watermelon. You sitting there might be puzzled. Why? Well, I always thought that Shehecheyanu goes on fruit of Borei Pri Ha'etz bracha. I didn't know if it's okay to make a Shehecheyanu on something that's a Borei Pri Ha'adamah. So now there are two issues. One is a halachic question. You go home after Shabbos, you call up your Rav, and you say, tell him what happened. Do you make a Shehecheyanu on a Borei Pri Ha'adamah? And he says, yes. Look at this, look at that, look at this. It's well established that anything that is seasonal and the first of the season is obvious to you, you're allowed to make a Shehecheyanu. Second question, do you like watermelon? Do you enjoy watermelon? Does it excite you? If no, then you don't make a Shehecheyanu on it. You could eat it to be polite, whatever. You could eat it because there's nothing else and you're still a little hungry. But there's no Shehecheyanu unless you are actually excited that this is the time that has arrived that I can have watermelon. That is not a halachic question. Once the guidelines are provided, the question becomes very personal. Do you feel like you should make a Shehecheyanu? Because Shehecheyanu v'kimonu v'gionu l'zman hazeh means that I am excited for this reason, and it reflects on my joy of this time. Shehecheyanu is not said on the watermelon, it's not said on the grapes, it is said on the Zman. Shehecheyanu v'kimonu v'gionu l'zman hazeh, which was triggered by the first of the season fruit, which includes Borei Pri Ha'adamah. I say that as an analogy to the two questions that you need to ask simultaneously. Can I, let's say Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut? So the answer to that is you will find every opinion exists. Yes, you can with a bracha. Yes, you can, but without a bracha. Yes, you can whole Hallel. Yes, you can, but only skipping like we do on Rosh Chodesh. No, you can't. That would be the range of different opinions. Every single one of those opinions has someone on whom to rely from the halachic perspective. The second question is subjective. How do you feel
Hi.
about
So Hertz is
the establishment of the state
space,
of Israel
parking space
and
available for someone
celebrating?
renting there?
There are people.
Available. Let me see if I can get to where we otherwise. Okay.
All week.
A whole.
There are people who don't consider the establishment of the State of Israel as anything to thank God for. And they wouldn't say Hallel. Why would they say Hallel if the establishment of the State of Israel is not something that they think that we have to thank God for? There are people, even smaller minority, very vocal small minority, who consider the establishment of the State of Israel to be something that is slowing down the Geula. It's working against the Geula. They certainly are not going to say Hallel, but these are the ones who join the Palestinians, enjoy the anti-Israel protests, tremendous Chilul Hashem, which we're not getting into now, and forget that. I'm talking now about a sizable population of people who are religious but non-Zionist. Then there's another category of people who are religious and Zionist but don't combine the two. And then you have your religious Zionists. So if you consider the establishment of the State of Israel, as imperfect as it is from a Torah perspective, to be something that you can honestly say, Zeh Hayom Asah Hashem Nagila V'Nismecha Vo, then observance of Yom HaTzmaut and observance with Hallel and a bracha, if you accept those opinions that say that's not a problem, and there's plenty of precedent for it, then that's what you do. If you hesitate on this Omer business, I could argue, and I'll argue even more than the Brit Milah thing in a moment. There are people who are overly cautious and say, okay, I'll say Hallel, but a bracha? How can you do that? And it's an argument. There are sources one way and there are sources the other way. And I'm not trying to convince you. I'm also not trying to give a very objective survey of this topic. I am very subjective. I am very into religious observance of Yom HaAtzmaut, including Hallel with a bracha, including tomorrow afternoon, Tuesday afternoon, when I'll be shaving and trimming my beard. I believe that that is something that belongs, yes, even during the Omer. And on that topic, I'll present it this way. The Omer should not be compared with the 9 days before Tisha B'Av or even the 3 weeks before Tisha B'Av, which are periods of Avelut. You look in Shulchan Aruch and it uses a very interesting term for the practices during the Omer. It calls them Ketzat Avelut. Not getting married and not taking haircuts or shaving are defined by the Shulchan Aruch as Ketzat Avelut. Interestingly enough, Lag BaOmer, far from the wild celebrations by Kabbalists and Hasidim in Meron and elsewhere, in Shulchan Aruch, it is suggested or offered that we have Ketzat Simcha on Lag BaOmer by not saying Tachanun, by allowing weddings, and by taking haircuts. And Sfardim do not do that on Lag BaOmer. They consider Lag BaOmer to be part of the first portion of the Omer, and they only allow weddings starting on the 34th day of the Omer. So you have all kind of different opinions. But the important point is that once upon a time, a long time ago, and Im Yirtzeh Hashem, soon in our time, Lag BaOmer was far, far the opposite of any kind of Avelut. It was like Chol HaMoed, because Shavuot is the atzeret, the cap of Pesach, with not like Shmini Atzeret, which is the eighth day added to the 7 days of Sukkot, even though Shmini Atzeret is both Chag Bifnei Atzmo, as well as being the eighth day of Sukkot. Shavuot is the same thing. It's a chag bifnei atzmo, zman matan Toratenu, but it is the atzeret, the cap on Pesach. And I spent a lot of time on that topic, and it's not just me, but Pesach, Yetziat Mitzrayim, by itself was not the whole thing. It meant that 7 weeks later, after Yetziat Mitzrayim, we stood at Har Sinai to receive the Torah. And that's part of the experience. The prophecy was not just Vehotzeiti v'Hitzalti v'Ga'alti, but it was also V'lakachti etchem li'la'am, V'hiti lachem le'elokim, V'idatem, and V'natati, and I will give you the land. That was the package deal. So the days between Rosh Chodesh, Pesach and Shavuot were like Chol HaMoed. Now look at it, what happened. The Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. There was no Omer HaTenufa that was brought. There was no Shtei HaLechem on Shavuot, no Korbanot Musaf. And the counting of the Omer became hollow, empty. It no longer had the Chol HaMoed flavor that makes sense only when you have Korban Pesach and Korban HaOmer and the Shtei HaLechem. Nature abhors a vacuum, and obviously so does our calendar. So things that we would not have mourned, like the tragic deaths of 224,000 students of Rabbi Akiva, had that not been associated with the period of the Omer, and had the Omer not been emptied out of its joy, maybe there would be a day of mourning for that, but certainly not a whole Omer period. And the same thing goes for the Crusades, which have an attachment to Rosh Chodesh Iyar and onward. That would not have been an issue had the days remained that semi-festive Chol HaMoed style period of time. Now look at the 49 days of the Omer. The first six of them are still Pesach. That's not mournful. The rest of the month of Nisan, we still don't say Tachanun. You still can't fast during that period of time. And that's not mournful yet, although the restrictions begin for some Shitot from after Pesach, from Yisrochar. Then you have Rosh Chodesh, 2 days for Iyar. Then you have Pesach Sheni. Then you have Lag BaOmer. Then you have Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Then you have Shloshet Yimei Hagbalah, the 3 days before Shavuot. And even the second day has a status. There are so many non-mournful days that exist in the Omer where the restrictions for marriage might still continue, but it's not really mournful. It's not even Ketzat Avelut. You can't have Ketzat Avelut on the six remaining days of Pesach, or for some of you who I'm looking at, the remaining 7 days of Pesach. I hope you take those as a shtach every time I say it, but it's meant as a good-hearted, polite shtach, instead of what the hell are you still doing in Chutz La'aretz, you know, kind of thing. And Rosh Chodesh, you're not allowed to fast, including the Rosh Chodeshes during the Omer. And we say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. It's hard to say. It's mournful. So now comes along in our time, sort of our time, for some of you after the fact, and I can't claim that Yom HaTzmut was in my time, except that I was a baby at the time. But certainly Yom Yerushalayim, we all experienced in our own time. these days now, to me, are part of the process of restoring the Omer period to its Cholamoid-y kind of time. It happened lechatchila with the 6 days of Pesach and Rosh Chodesh and everything else that's on the calendar. And that indicated to me a direction that the Omer was supposed to be going in. Comes along Yom HaAtzmaut, and I don't, maybe I did at the very beginning when I first got aware of all of these things, felt a little uncomfortable, but not really, and certainly not anymore. It is a day that I believe with all my heart suspends and overrides the restrictions of the Omer, just like Lag BaOmer does. There's a famous story of Rav Herzog, the first chief rabbi, Ashkenazi chief rabbi of the state of Israel. A chayal approached him and asked if he could get married on Yom HaAtzmaut, to which Rav Herzog said yes. And the guy responded to the yes with, "Really?" To which Rav Herzog said, "No." So the guy said, "I'm confused. First you said yes, and then you said no." He says, "When you asked me if you could get married on Yom HaAtzmaut, I said yes because Yom HaAtzmaut is a day of joy. The fact that you challenge that with the equivalent in Hebrew of really means you don't feel that, in which case it's part of Sfirat HaOmer and you can't get married." So I always like that story because a lot of it depends on attitude. Now, let me add something else to this, which I'm very not happy about. I call it the na-na-na-na-na effect. Do you know what the na-na-na-na-na effect is? It goes like this. When a religious non-Zionist Shomer Shabbos person says to a secular Zionist, "You disgrace the Shabbat and venerate the flag. I observe the Shabbat, respect the Shabbat, honor the Shabbat, and I disgrace the flag because you take that, but not Shabbat." That's not an ideological position. That's a na 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 na, if you get my meaning. That is a reaction to the negative. This person should be observing Yom HaAtzmaut, and that person should be keeping Shabbat. Never said that it's an alternative for it. I was very sad when a guy told me once when he lived in Chutz La'aretz. He wasn't religious, but his wife lit candles for Shabbat, and he made Kiddush on Shabbat, and he lit Hanukkah candles. And now that he came to live in Israel, he doesn't do any of that stuff because I don't need it. I needed it in the States to make a connection to my Judaism. Here, the whole country is Jewish. I mean, not really, if you know what I mean. So I don't need those things. That's very sad. That's very sad. One's observance of mitzvot should be totally enhanced by them being fulfilled here in Medinat Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, not the opposite. So there's a lot of things there. Now, what I also lament is that there were certain segments of the very Zionistic religious community that did their own version of na 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 na, meaning, example, you Don't say Hallel and Yom HaTzmaut. We're going to say it twice, once at night and once in the daytime. I believe Hallel does not belong at nighttime on Yom HaTzmaut. The only day of the year that we should say Hallel at night is Leil HaSeder, Pesach night. And that's part of what Manish Tana HaLaila HaZeh Mikol HaLailot means. Why is this night different from all other nights? It's different, and there's reasons for it, and there's answers for it. But that should be, in my opinion, the only night to say Hallel. Sadly, I say it. Remember, you're getting a very subjective presentation now. I say it. I say that it doesn't belong at night, and your reason for doing it at night is to go overboard on the Yom HaAtzmaut side, because there are so many religious Jews who go overboard on the non-Yom HaAtzmaut side. And I think that's very sad. So that's one example. Haftorah. Yom HaAtzmaut morning, this Wednesday morning, and after the Amidah, Tfilah l'shalom hamedina, mishaberach l'chayalei tzahal, whatever else takes place there. And then there's the reading of a haftorah. You don't want to call it a haftorah because it doesn't follow Kriyat HaTorah, so call it a reading from the Navi. What's the selection made by the Rabbanut a long, long, long time ago, Yachasit? It is the same haftorah as in Chutz La'aretz they read on the 8th day of Pesach. It is the vision of Yeshayahu, of the wolf and the lamb lying together, and the bear and the calf, and beating swords into plowshares, meaning Yemot HaMashiach. And I think it was a beautiful choice for Yom HaAtzmaut because it recognizes the festive nature of Yom HaTzmaut, the need to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Medinat Yisrael, as well as the recognition that we're not there yet, that the Geulah Shleimah is still in the future. How long in the future, we don't know, but it's not there yet. And by reading that same Haftorah that's read on Shmini Shel Pesach, Acharon Shel Pesach, and Chutz La'aretz, on Yom HaAtzmaut, it makes a statement. So does the blowing of the shofar on the night of Yom HaAtzmaut, introduced by the portion in the Torah from Parshat Beshalach that speaks of using the shofar as a call to petition God in times of threat and danger. And in celebration, it has two very different functions. And those psukim and that blow of the shofar in many communities here, I don't know where else, how common it is to do it there, elsewhere, meaning outside of Israel. But here, it's done in many, many shuls and many minyanim to basically make the statement, and it's followed by an actual statement, kashem. Just as we have been privileged to the atchalta de geula, the beginning of the redemption, meaning the establishment of the state of Israel, so may we also be privileged to Yemot HaMashiach, the shofaro shel Mashiach, that should come, speedily in our time. I find that this is the healthiest religious approach. And obviously, there are people who disagree with me and people who are more scholarly and more rabbinic than I am. And I know that that exists. But since And I don't know what other shiurim you're going to be going to or have gone to, which raised the topic, and maybe you got a different perspective. Well, that's fine for me also. But you're here right now, in fact, 15 people. counting me, so 14 others. And this is the perspective that you're getting in introduction to the upcoming. Tonight is already the eve of Yom HaZikaron, and tomorrow is Yom HaZikaron. Tomorrow evening is Leil Yom HaAtzmaut, and then the next day Yom HaAtzmaut. And here's another angle to it. At the original Yom HaAtzmaut, the day of the declaration of the independence of Israel, was the 5th of Iyar, Friday, and the first Yom HaAtzmaut anniversary 1 year later was observed, I think, also on a Friday. And then sometime afterwards, like 1949, 50, 51, I'm not exactly sure when, the Knesset made an amendment to the date of Yom HaAtzmaut. They said Yom HaAtzmaut will be the 5th of Iyar unless the 5th is Shabbat or Friday, in which case Yom HaAtzmaut will be observed on Thursday before, purpose to avoid Chilul Shabbat in ceremonies and celebrations around the country, which for Shabbat would be problematic. And even Friday, if they go and linger until Shabbat approaches, would be problems for Friday also. It would be best to move it to Thursday. This was not the Rabbanut, this was the Knesset. The Knesset made a decision that would be appreciated, let's say, by a minority of the Jewish community in Israel, namely the religious people who make up the minority in this country. But they did it because this is a Jewish state and Shabbat is the Jewish thing. I find that a wonderful measure. Then, much more recently, they said, when Yom HaAtzmaut, when Hei Iyar falls out on Monday, that's also a problem because Sunday, meaning Saturday night, and Sunday, meaning Motzoi Shabbat and Sunday, is Yom HaZikaron, and tikkasim, ceremonies that are done at night, the people organizing them and setting them up with the chairs and the loudspeakers and the microphones and everything else might do their things while it's still Shabbat. So the Knesset again, and I think it was prompted by the Rabbanut, or maybe not, the Knesset again made an amendment to the rule of Yom HaAtzmaut. It is Hei Iyar. If Hei Iyar is Shabbos or Friday, it's preponed, which is a word, by the way. And if it's Monday, it's postponed to Tuesday, all motivated by avoiding Chilul Shabbat. And that says something. Now the question is, what about the religious observance of Yom HaAtzmaut? Hallel on Hei Iyar Shabbat. It's not Mechalel Shabbos. Same thing for Friday, same thing for Monday. So imagine if the decision of the Rabbanut over the years would have been, okay, Knesset, government, State of Israel, we appreciate that you moved the national celebration of Yom HaAtzmaut to avoid Chilul Shabbat, but we will keep the religious observance of no Tachanun and no Lam Natzeach and Hallel and the Tfilot that are added. We will keep that on Hei Iyar because there's no Chil Shabbos threatened. But they didn't do that. And I think this is a point that does not go without mention. The religious establishment moved a religious observance of Yom HaAtzmaut to match the national observance as a gesture of national unity. I think it would have been very misguided had there been a Yom HaAtzma'ut for the nation on Thursday and religious Yom HaAtzma'ut on Hey Iyar, Friday or Shabbos. And I feel this is a very positive thing. A, because it adds that it respects and acknowledges, better word, that the government went likrat Shmirat Shabbat. We have to go, I think it's ideal anyway, but we have to go likrat that by our observance of Yom HaAtzma'ut when it comes, when it is established. And we have precedent for that also. When Tanit Esther, 13th of Adar, falls on Shabbat, we fast on the 11th of Adar. Now, how can we fast on the 11th of Adar if Tanit Esther is the 13th? It's not. Tanit Esther is the 13th of Adar unless it falls on Shabbat, in which case we fast on the 11th. There's even an interesting halachic discussion. Let's say it's a year that Purim is on Motzoi Shabbat. Regular Purim is on Motzoi Shabbat Sunday, and therefore the 13th would have been Shabbat, and we fast on the 11th, Thursday. Let's say a person wakes up on Thursday, forgets that it's Tanit Esther, Mukdam, and he eats breakfast. And then after breakfast, he realizes that it's Tanit Esther. Does he have to fast on Friday? Because Tanit Esther was pulled back to Thursday, but it's still here on Shabbat. Can't fast on Shabbat, but it's still there, only it's pulled back to Thursday. He blew Thursday by eating, so it's still part of the Tanit Esther thing. Maybe he has to fast on Friday. And there is an opinion like that. But the conclusion in halacha is no. Tanit Esther was moved to Thursday. That's Tanit Esther on those years when Motzoi Shabbat is Megillah reading for the rest of the world. And therefore, if he didn't fast on Thursday, he has no obligation to fast on Friday, because Tanit Esther was over. And there is no makeup for it. It would only have a makeup if you consider it to be pulled back, but really belonging to the 13th. Similarly, the rule, the halachic rule, if you could call it that, as well as the national rule, is Yom HaAtzma'ut is observed on the 5th of Iyar, unless it falls on Shabbat or Friday or Monday. And by the way, statistically, this year, which, you know, a 5th of Iyar is Wednesday, is the only day of the week that the 5th of Iyar falls on that we observe Yom HaAtzma'ut, which happens 28.57% of the time. Less than a third of the time, Yom HaAtzma'ut is Hey Iyar, which is fine, because that's the rule for Yom HaAtzma'ut. There's nothing holy about the date. The holiness of it, if you could call it that, is the establishment of the State of Israel and how the Rabbanut has declared the observance of Yom HaAtzma'ut should be continued.
Now, I have a question.
Yes.
Did you just say that Yom HaAtzma'ut cannot fall on a Monday?
When it can, it is pushed to Tuesday.
Why? Why? Why?
Because
what's wrong
Yom
with
has,
Sunday?
If it, because Yom HaZikaron is Sunday.
Yeah, okay.
Which means Saturday night.
Yeah.
They would have, people would be, not
oh,
the, people might
okay,
set up.
Okay, I understand. I understand. Okay.
Any other questions or comments? Okay. The other thing that people
Made me realize, you just made me realize with this whole discussion, I went to look at my calendar that I have a wedding, a great nephew's wedding, before Shavuos, early May, 2 days after Lag BaOmer. And we keep Sfira through Shavuos.
Okay, so the answer to that question is it doesn't matter. By the way, it's a question that doesn't go without asking. It's been asked many times, and here's the answer. The mournful period of the Omer, or what I call the Ketzat mournful period of the Omer, is supposed to be 33 days, which starts at the beginning and goes to Lag BaOmer daytime, not really nighttime, although some people get married nighttime also. Or starts at Rosh Chodesh Iyar and goes till Shavuot. Now, the days before Shavuot, the 3 days before, are cut into that, and the 6 days of Pesach are cut into the first opinion. But the bottom line is there are communities that follow, or individuals that follow, the opinion that the mournful period does not begin to Rosh Chodesh Iyar. And they do allow weddings after Pesach until Rosh Chodesh. So last week, there were weddings in certain communities. And the same thing goes after. After Lag BaOmer is a legitimate time to have a wedding, according to one of the major opinions. And a person whose mournful period is there yields to the Bali Simcha. You are absolutely allowed to go to the wedding and enjoy it because your personal Omer period yields to the Bali Simcha.
Okay.
And that's
Thank you.
well established in halacha, and I don't know if anyone disagrees with that.
Thank you so much. I realized it as we were doing your share, as you're talking.
And I had the situation the opposite because I hold from the beginning of Pesach till after Lag BaOmer. In fact, off the record, I do the full period because I do take a break on Yom Ha'atzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim, and I still get my 33 days in without feeling extra guilty that I shortened it even more than it is. But you have to remember, this is it's not a black period. Let's call it a gray, light, mournful period, which is brightening and brightening and brightening as we get closer to the Geula Shlema. And again, I say I have no qualms about shaving Lakrat Yom Ha'atzmaut tomorrow. I don't know if I'm ready to actually go to a barber and take a haircut, but shaving and trimming my beard is something that I've been doing for a good number of years, and I have on whom to rely that that is a proper practice.
On Friday, though, as well, couldn't you?
Say
You're
again?
allowed. You're
No,
allowed to
because
shave
I
after
follow a different
Shabbat.
minhag that I don't take haircuts on Rosh Chodesh. So that's a different story. That comes from the Tzava'a of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, and I don't know. I have to find out if I need to continue doing that or if I'm mistaken by insisting on it. Whatever. So that's my story. Briefly, this week's Sedra, we'll talk more about it on, oh, we're not going to talk about it on Wednesday. This Wednesday is Yom Ha'atzmaut and people are doing other things. So there is not going to be a shiur on Wednesday. Let me quickly, in 2 minutes, tell you that Acharei Kedoshim are combined in every 12-month, one Adar year, separated in every Shana Meuberet, 13-month, and two Adars, no exception. It follows perfectly. An interesting extra point is the Haftorah, but I'm not going to get into that now. I'll just mention that Acharei has three Prakim. The first Perek is also used for the Torah reading of Yom Kippur morning. The third parak also used for the Torah reading of Yom Kippur at Mincha, and the middle perek, just like a middle child sort of feels like he's not as favored as the Bechor or the little kid, is only read when we read Parshat Acharei. Acharei contained consists of contains 28 mitzvot. It's number 9 on the mitzvah chart, and I think it's 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Sorry, Acharei is seventh most mitzvot, 28. But compare that to Kedoshim with 51 mitzvot, which is only fifth on the list, and it shows you how uneven the mitzvot are distributed in the Torah. I will say this quickly and finish with this. Parshat Kedoshim is a small sedra. There are only five sedras that are smaller, has 64 psukim, packed with 51 mitzvot, giving it the highest mitzvah density of the Torah. There are other mitzvot, more than a dozen, that are already been counted, but they're also in Kedoshim, which means it's even more packed with mitzvot. And that is perfect, because when the Torah says, Kedoshim tihiyu, be Kodesh, and we ask, how? How am I supposed to be holy? Do I wear a loincloth and climb a mountain and sit cross-legged and ponder? No. Kedoshim tihiyu means commitment to mitzvot, quantity, quality, enthusiasm, love of Torah and mitzvot. That's all part of Kedoshim tihiyu. And then you have this small sedra, super packed with mitzvot. It's a perfect thing, and you could use it on Shabbos at your table for a Dvar Torah or whatever. So I wish you the traditional greeting of Moadim L'Simcha, to which the answer is L'Geula Shleima. And there are people who say Moadim L'Simcha L'Geula Shleima together, but really it was meant as an exchange. I say Moadim L'Simcha, and you remind the two of us that L'Geula Shleima, we're still waiting for the final redemption and hopefully working towards it. And Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you.
Have a festive day on Wednesday.